Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning CUTV News Radio Live Broadcast Series. It is 2 p.m. Eastern here on Monday, November 25th, 2019. We hope you're having a terrific day as we lead up to the holidays. We just want to wish everybody a wonderful holiday. Thanksgiving coming up this week. We are very excited because we get a chance this Monday to chat with one of our favorite guests here on CUTV News Radio Live, and that is Dr. Victoria J. Mondlock. And if you've been following along with us here, every time we have an opportunity to engage with her and she with us, and we have an opportunity to really share her perspective and wisdom and her wonderful ideas, tools, tricks, trades. I mean, you just think about all of it. She has been somebody who has spent a good deal of her life really, really focused on the health and wellness of others. I had an opportunity to actually fly out to Wisconsin about a month or so ago and sit down with her in her actual office. And we did a television video interview, which we're working on right now, and interview her patients, her staff, and see her interact with all of the above firsthand. And I tell you, she is beloved. She is revered. She is respected. She's the real deal, too. And as far as those tools and techniques and methodologies and her vision and perspective, she is an out-of-the-box thinker. She is an out-of-the-box doer. She's somebody who doesn't settle for the status quo. She doesn't like when people are written off. That's a huge theme of a lot of why she does the work that she does. She's the author of two extraordinary books that have gained real traction and have been tremendously well-received, Blossoming and Full Bloom. And you can get those through Amazon or her website, VictoriaJMondlockMDSC.com. But she has been sharing with us the extraordinary efforts that she undertakes to provide comfort, solace, the wisdom, but also the care that her patients desire and need that oftentimes they're not getting elsewhere. She is always looking for unique approaches to health and wellness. She's a health and wellness expert, OBGYN by training, hormone replacement therapy physician and expert. She's somebody who really understands hormones inside and out, literally, for women and men. And she is somebody who is just a real breath of fresh air when it comes to health and wellness and the medical community. And that's one thing that you will notice right away when you have an opportunity to engage with her. She's extraordinary at what she does, and she, again, is revered by industry peers as well as by countless patients, 30 years, and some of them generational, too. The grandmother, the mother, the daughter, the granddaughter, going to her for issues with menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, health and happiness, hormone balancing, and so much more. It is my pleasure, as always, to welcome Dr. Victoria Mondlock back to our broadcast series as we continue talking about the various things that we all deal with in our lives, some of the physical and mental symptoms, how to get through it all, and also about her latest book. Today, we're going to talk in depth about Full Bloom, covering hormone changes in the premenopausal and postmenopausal years. So let's welcome back one of our favorite guests, Dr. Victoria Mondlock, live and direct just west of Milwaukee in the beautiful town of Waukesha, Wisconsin. Dr. Mondlock, thank you very much for joining us here. It's always a pleasure to have you, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I'm not sure I live up to that intro. That was amazing.
Well,
I got to meet that doctor.
It's all you. It's all you, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So,
thank you.
And with that said, we have been talking about your latest book, and I know both books are really, in addition to your children, they are your pride and joy, these books, and Full Bloom, covering hormonal changes in the pre-menopausal and postmenopausal years. In the beginning of the book, there's this checklist of symptoms. Let's review some of the signs that one should really look for if the body is hormone deprived.
Well, you know, and that's a really good place to start, because that's where I start with every patient who is either a new patient walking in for the first time or a returning patient who we're working with trying to get their hormone levels as balanced as we can. And these symptoms are basically our worksheet, our checklist of, are we getting where we want to go to? In other words, numbers are one part of the story, but numbers don't tell the whole story. And your first thought is going to be, numbers? What do you mean numbers? My doctor never checks my hormone levels. That's my point, is unless you know where you were, how do you know where you are, and how do you know where you want to go? It's a really simple and scientific concept in medicine that in order to find out what your symptoms may be doing for you, you need to be scientific about finding out what that organ system is thinking. So if we know that we are going through hormone changes in the decade of our 40s, or we're going through or have gone through loss of hormone because we're in our 50s, and our hot flashes and night sweats are very actively reminding us that we've lost our female hormone, then what else is there? Is it just about hot flashes and night sweats? Well, you know what? No. If I let you know a little secret, it will actually give you a totally different perspective on your own journey through these times. Imagine that our ovaries make both our female hormones, estradiol and progesterone, and they make that every cycle when we have a female menstrual cycle, but they also make total and free testosterone. So our ovaries make four hormones for us. Those are our sex hormones, and we always think about the estrogen, progesterone, but we tend to forget about the testosterone that our ovaries make. Well, what happens when our ovaries decide that they're tired and they want to go on permanent vacation and retire to Mexico? Well, guess what? They don't make the female hormones anymore. But what they do make is male hormone. Ew, your first thought is, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If we're females, why do our ovaries decide to continue to make male hormone? Isn't that a great question? But you know what? Nobody ever tells you that. Nobody ever tells you that. Isn't that crazy? So
Absolutely. Not
only do we lose our female hormone, but we get more male hormone. We become dudes. We become guys, hormonally speaking. And that's not exactly what we signed up for, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So
right.
Not only is it about where did our female hormone go and what are some of those checklists of symptoms that I'm talking about, but I want to leave you or have you think about this thought just for a second. If our estradiol and progesterone went throughout our body, and if I tell you the role of estradiol in our body is to give blood supply per square inch to every organ that has an estradiol receptor, doesn't it just beg the question, which are the organs in our body that have estradiol receptors? And my answer to you is every single organ system in your body has estradiol receptors. That
yeah.
means from your hair to your skin, to your eyeballs, to your mucous membranes of your GI system, to your muscles, to your joints, to your stomach, to every single part of your body, holy smokes, so that when estradiol levels plummet and drop with menopause, we are actually decreasing blood supply per square inch to every organ in our body.
Mm.
Well, doesn't that explain a few things, right?
Sure does. Yeah.
Yes. So if in particular, the first three symptoms that I'll tell you may ring a chord. Are you ready? These are the top three, just because they happen to be the first three, okay? But everybody has a different checklist or bucket list of what their top three symptoms are. But the first three that are listed are all cognitive. So short-term memory loss. Man, I put my keys someplace. Where did I put those? Oh, and you run around the house like a chicken with your head cut off because you're late for work. And finally you realize they've been in your hand the whole time. And you go, oh, my gosh. And we can laugh about it, but, okay, sound familiar? Second on the list, difficulty concentrating. You're sitting in a meeting and you're thinking about your Thanksgiving checklist of what you have to get at the grocery store because the meeting got a little bit dry and all of a sudden everybody's staring at you because somebody just asked you a question and you don't even know what they asked you. Has this been happening more often where people are surprising you and you're not following what's going on at work and suddenly your boss or your supervisor says to you, you know, you're having a hard time keeping up. Maybe we should let you train so-and-so on your team and they'll take over your position and you're going to take over their old position. Translation, you just got demoted. Yet you've been there 20 years, 10 years, maybe 15 years, maybe 30 years. Maybe you've been there long enough that you know all the ins and outs of that department and of that job, and now you're training somebody who hasn't even been there 6 months or a year, and all of a sudden they're going to be your supervisor? Wait a minute.
Right.
What is wrong with this picture, right? And the third one is forgetfulness. Now, forgetfulness can tie in with the other two as well, but somebody just said to you, I'd like you to walk down the hall and grab the report from Jim's desk. And you walk down the hall and you go, huh, wonder what I came down this hall for. Well, it'll come to me if I walk back and forth a few times. You know, but all of those things can actually be very relatable to where did your estradiol go? And that's your brain's way of saying, hey, I need some of that estradiol, and I need it yesterday. So if this is sounding a little too familiar, then maybe it's lack of or too low of an estradiol level, remembering that estradiol is giving you blood supply per square inch. Well, this is blood supply to your brain. Kind of one of those important organs that we need to keep blood supply going to. So
I tell you, that's very revealing.
One example. Exactly. Now, I had a patient in today. It was her first visit back after getting her initial blood work done. Now, we're talking about a 58-year young lady, and her symptoms had been minimal. She thought she was handling menopause just fine until she realized that the GYN that she had and she was talking to, and she kept telling this GYN that she was having symptoms and symptoms and symptoms, and he kept nodding his head, but he wasn't doing anything about it. And finally, she thought, well, this is going nowhere fast. So came in to see me because she had heard about my work through a friend. And interestingly, when she went through her symptoms, her number one on her hit parade were all three of these: short-term memory loss, difficulty concentrating, and forgetfulness. Because you can lump them all together. It's all decreased estradiol impacting brain function. So it's real. It's not just something on a list that people can check off. And her issue was very much what I just talked about, is that very relatable to, am I going to lose my job? I'm in danger of no longer being the supervisor. And I worked hard to get here. And I've got a lot of years left. I wasn't interested in looking for a new job. So what can you do to help? Isn't that just something?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So the book has been so well received. And that's what I think is really terrific, because you really put so much time and effort into that book to make it relatable, to make it understandable for people. Because a lot of times, you know, like when I was there and I was interviewing a lot of your wonderful patients who just love you, you know, left and right, and they rely on you and they depend on you. You've made it so relatable, this book, for everybody, because when they come to you, or even when they're reading the book, they may be going through some heavy things that are just really confusing them and frustrating them and presenting anxiety, depression, and withdrawal and a lot of different things, right, as a result.
Absolutely. And a lot of physical symptoms, like we talked last show, are things that are exacerbated then by losing levels of female hormone, things you don't necessarily associate with hormone, like migraines, or having dry skin and a skin rash, or having muscle aches and joint aches, and you think, oh, that's just old age. But yet you put a little hormone back in, and all of a sudden everything is like it's been greased, like the Wizard of Oz and the Tin Man. All of a sudden those joints are working better again because you got that estradiol back in those joints. Right.
What about when you have too much hormone? Sometimes you can, I guess, have too much, like you're saying, which we've talked about as well. What happens then?
Well, in the female department, usually what will happen is you'll have too much estradiol. And you go, well, come on, you just said ovaries quit making hormone. Well, there's this phase that ovaries go through when they are winding down, and they don't just slowly drop their hormone levels down and everything is smooth as silk. We have these wild swings of up and down and up and down. And I want you to think about the fact that some of those wild swings mean that one month you feel like $1 million and the next month you feel like Debbie Downer, and oh my gosh, how come I can't pull myself out of this funk, and how come I'm having all of these issues and I can't sleep? And the next month you're back to feeling really good, and you feel like it's almost a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Well, as some patients are going through that end of their menstrual career, and they're in their middle to late 40s, or even in their early 50s to mid 50s, those wild swings can mean that they make too much estradiol and don't match it with enough progesterone. So too much estradiol is like having too much ice cream every day. Man, it tastes good, but holy smokes, is there a consequence? And all of a sudden, you're racking up abdominal weight. Or it's the banana split every day. Now all of a sudden you taste so good going down, but you're so sick right afterwards. So too much of a good thing is not good either, because you will overstimulate female organs. Well, what do I mean by that? If you have too much estradiol, you may suddenly have a bad mammogram because you've just overstimulated and hyperstimulated your breast. And that fibrocystic hyperstimulation may now show up as a hyperplasia or a calcification, or worse yet, it may be something that is precancer that, if left unchecked, can become a breast cancer, all because somebody's not paying attention to your hormone levels. Well, wait a minute. If nobody's checking levels anywhere, then is potentially our breast cancer diagnosis due to the fact that medicine's not paying attention? Is that preventable? In a lot of patients where hormone receptor positive breast cancer is occurring, that's exactly what I'm saying. And it isn't going to happen in 1 month. It isn't going to happen in 3 months. This is something that's a pattern of estradiol dominance that you can demonstrate in some patients as early as their 20s and 30s, certainly in their 40s, but a pattern of estradiol dominance over progesterone means that you are always hitting your breast with a higher amount of estradiol. And again, too much of a good thing over time is going to wear down that organ's defenses, and you're suddenly looking at a bad mammogram. In an ovary, you may actually build a sudden cyst on an ovary with a spike in estradiol. So that's going to be more responsive to an acute change. But what that cyst on an ovary may do is two very scary things. One is it may rupture. Do you think you're going to notice? Oh my goodness gracious, yes. It's going to be like somebody put a shotgun to your belly and clicked the trigger. And all of a sudden, you go from having a little discomfort to you're bent over and on the floor in fetal position, and you don't know what just hit you. Well, what hit you was a cyst rupturing and all that fluid going inside your belly. And it gives you a peritonitis, picture like appendicitis. Very painful and very, very, very hard to figure out what just happened to you. And unfortunately, a lot of people, even in the medical community, may not recognize that there is now free fluid in your pelvis. And even if they recognize free fluid in your pelvis, which should be a dead giveaway, look at the ovary. Is there still a partial cyst that's on that ovary? And if that's the case, then you've just ruptured an ovarian cyst, then you need to know where your hormone levels are. Versus what happened to a patient of mine who was told, yes, you have free fluid in your abdomen, you must have liver failure. And she was hospitalized and worked up for this bogus diagnosis of liver failure when it had nothing to do with her liver, everything to do with her ovaries, but they never even looked. Isn't that just crazy? Or
it is.
If you have sudden stimulation and hyperstimulation of a uterus, which has polyps in it, or has at least, at the very least, a lining that you can build, or maybe you've had fibroids on your uterus, or you've had endometriosis, any increase or prolonged high level of estradiol is potentially going to give you a thicker lining that you'll bleed out that you may not expect. It may give you polyp growth inside your uterus, which will bleed at will. and bleed heavily. It may grow your fibroids bigger so that your doctor says, oh, those have to come out. Your uterus has to come out. Well, no, what you have to do is you actually have to balance that estradiol with your progesterone, and then you don't have to look at a surgical resolution. But if doctors and medicine aren't looking for how to manage your hormones, then you may be unfortunate enough to end up in the operating room for something that could have been medically managed, and you could have been on top of it for 5, 10, 15, even 20 years before this. But those are examples of hormone levels being too high, and primarily estradiol, too high, too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing, exactly. And that can really be not as positive as one would think. And, you know, acne, excess facial hair, a lot of these things, nobody wants to have to deal with that. You know, another feature early in the book, myths versus truths. Let's take a closer look maybe at one of the myths that stands out, Doctor.
Well, one myth, and this will probably most people when they hear this will go, that's not a myth, that's true, is that you can be in menopause and no longer are you going to have periods. Well, that's a myth, because what medicine calls menopause is whether or not you have had a period or lack of period for 1 year. That is actually the medical definition of menopause, 1 year without periods. Well, I've got news for you. If you go a year, you could still have your ovaries and even a healthy ovary turn back on, and you could start making female hormone and cycle again. Whether you cycle regularly or irregularly, you may actually kick back in and start doing what we call the last hurrah, where you kick back in and you are making hormone again. And it's kind of that last ditch hormone production that your ovaries are going to do, and it can last anywhere from 2 months to 4 months, and some women are fortunate or unfortunate enough that that last hurrah will kick back in, and they can have a period for as much as a year afterwards. So the myth is that once you've gone a year, you will never have a period again, and that is a true myth. Knowing your hormone levels is paramount to knowing where you are. That's the only way you can properly balance and properly follow your own female health.
Very well said, Doctor. One of the last chapters in the book is how to talk to your physician. Why is the doctor-patient partnership and relationship and choices so crucial at this particular stage of a woman's life?
Because we're never, ever going to be making hormone for the next 20, 30, 40 years. Think about the fact that if a woman goes through menopause around the age of 50, which is the average age in the U.S., that you may spend as many years without natural hormone as you spent years making natural hormone. Do we ask guys to do that? Do we say at age 50, oh, your testicles are done, and not only are you not going to make testosterone anymore, but you're going to like it? Well, no, Mother Nature doesn't do that to guys, but she does that to women, because we're not supposed to be able to carry babies after age 50, because who's going to raise those babies, right? So
that's right.
And think about the fact that back in 1912, the average lifespan was 48 and a half years old for women. We hit 48 and a half years old and we died. So menopause didn't even exist 100 years ago. So a lot of changes have happened in the past 100 years, And there's absolutely no reason why women and women's health should be left behind.
That's exactly right. And that's why you're on this mission, and truly is a mission. It's a passion. It's in your DNA. And I've had an opportunity to experience it firsthand when you came to our television studio, and then when I came out to Wisconsin. And then, of course, the chats we've had here. Looking forward to more and celebrating you and all the wonderful work you're continuing to do, Dr. Montlock. And we encourage folks to go to your website, Victoria J. Montlock. That's M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H, and then M-D-S-C.com, Victoria J. Montlock, M-D-S-C.com. And both books, Blossoming and Full Bloom, are available at Amazon or Dr. Montlock's website. And again, she's always very approachable, affable, relatable. Yes, she carries the title of the physician and the expert, but I tell you, she rolls up her sleeve, she dives in, and she's like a friend. I saw it firsthand through the responses of the actual patients that I got a chance to meet personally who poured their heart out to me about how Dr. Montlock listens, how she cares, and how their lives have changed and improved for the better. Their physical health, their physical appearance, their relationships with their partners, their family, their energy levels at work. Everything is just turned around at all different age levels, too. We talked with various different demographics, cultural backgrounds, age groups, and it was across the board that she doesn't write you off, and she's not sticking for the status quo because she's had it happen to herself, and that really drives her to really do what she can in such a beautiful way to improve the lives in so many deep levels for her patients. And again, encourage you to go to her website to learn more, Victoria J. Montlock, MDSC.com. Amazon has the books Blossoming as well as Full Bloom. They are really, really good to have as coffee table references, or it could even be a gift as well. Dr. Montlock, a pleasure as always. We wish you and the family a very, very happy and blessed and joyful Thanksgiving. Looking forward to chatting with you again real soon. It's always a pleasure, and thanks for being with us on this episode of CU TV News Radio Live today.
You as well, and my pleasure.
You take care. You have a wonderful rest of your day, and again, a great holiday. Jim Masters here, CU TV News Radio Live, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you being with us as well. Stay tuned. More great episodes of the award-winning CU TV News Radio Live coming up in just a moment. Till then, for all of us here, thanks for being with us. We thank Dr. Montlock for being with us as well. Have a terrific day. Bye for now.